It is our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I feel very humbled this morning to be able to share God's Word with you. I'm thankful that we have the Word of God, and my prayer is always that the Holy Spirit would take His Word. It's not my words. It's not my delivery. But it's the Spirit of the Lord accompanied with His Word that will make a difference in our hearts. And I feel humbled to be in this place this morning, and I ask that you pray that God's Word would not fall to the ground this morning. Spread your letter. The Lord has given us an invitation this morning to come and spread our letter before the throne of God. So we're going to read an account over in the book of 2 Kings in the 18th chapter. And this is a simple message this morning. I hope that's all right. 2 Kings in the 18th chapter, and to give a little bit of background, or to save ourselves some reading, the king of Assyria was coming against God's people, and Hezekiah was the king, and the king of Assyria was coming against them with a great army. And if you've ever had a great enemy coming against you, circumstances, difficulties, and it wasn't just a minor thing, but it seemed like it was a lot bigger than you were in what you were capable of handling, you probably started feeling somewhat overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. This is an overwhelming enemy that's coming against us. And so the king of Assyria with a great army was coming to Jerusalem, where Hezekiah was king. So we'll pick up with the 29th verse of the 18th chapter. Verse 29, it said, it came to pass. Actually, I'm in 1 Kings. It would help to get in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. Thus saith the king. This was a message that the king of Assyria had sent to the people of Jerusalem, all right? So this is from the enemy king, and this was his message. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hands. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his own fig tree. So what the king was saying is he was coming against Hezekiah with a great army, and Hezekiah believed in the Lord God. And the king of Assyria sent a message to the people and said, I'm just letting you know something. Don't believe the king when he says God is going to deliver you. Don't believe him. Now, don't believe the king, don't believe Hezekiah when he tells you that the Lord is going to deliver you and is going to spare the city. Just giving you fair warning now, I'm headed your way with a big army, and this is what your king's going to tell you, is that God is going to be with you. Don't believe it. I'm on my way, and I'm just telling you, you better come, and you better open up and bring presents to me and surrender to me, because I'm on my way. And there is no God that is going to spare you. Don't believe him when he says, put your faith in God. Does that sound, have you ever heard those voices? They might be some of your loved ones. They might be some of your family. It might be some people that you know, and it might just be the voice of the enemy. They're all working for the enemy when they come and say, don't put your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in him. This thing is too big. This thing is overwhelming. So the king of Assyria wanted them to know, I'm not just, people talk about blowing smoke. I'm not just saying words to say it. I'm going to give evidence to back up why you shouldn't trust in your God. So verse 33. He said, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered out all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" So what the king had been doing was he was out conquering nations. And so he said, "I'm headed your way. Don't trust in your God, because do you know where I've been? I've been conquering all these other nations, and what good did their gods do for them? I defeated them." He said, "Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Seraphim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand?" You get what the king's saying here is? I've been conquering all these nations. Where are their gods? What good did their gods do for them? I conquered all of them, and guess what? Do the same thing in your life. I'm headed your way. I'm going to conquer Jerusalem, and your God is no different than all these other gods of all of these nations. So don't believe it when someone says to put your faith in God. Don't believe that. And so then in chapter 19, it said, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth." And what a wonderful thing. He went into the house of the Lord. I've got some very devastating news. The circumstances are arrayed against me. What better place to go than to the house of the Lord? And that is what he did. And then reading down in verse 6, the prophet Isaiah sent a message to the king. The prophet Isaiah said to them, "Thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." Do not be afraid of the words that you've heard. The king, all the words that you've heard is don't trust in God. Look at what's happened to everybody else in this circumstance. They were all destroyed. You're no different. And the prophet said, don't listen. Don't listen to those words. Don't be afraid of them. Because we serve the God that created the world. Don't be afraid of all the gainsayers and all of this. Then the king of Assyria sent another message. And you can read it if you want to read the whole chapter on your own time. The king of Assyria sent another message after that. And he basically repeated himself. His message was, again, don't be deceived. I've conquered all these lands. Their gods did not deliver them, and I'm coming for you. That's the message that he sent again after the prophet Isaiah came and said, don't be afraid. Do you know the devil's not going to give up this morning? The devil doesn't come and try to destroy our faith with just one thing. He's going to bombard us to try to wear us down until we surrender to the enemy. Is it a fair question to ask you this morning, who are you listening to? Or more properly phrased, to whom are you listening? To whom are you listening? Because there are the voices around us that are saying, don't put your faith in God. Look around you, really? You think you're going to be any different? Whether it's physical problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's spiritual problems, you really think trusting in God is going to deliver you? And the enemy is doing all he can to tear down our faith and saying, it hadn't worked for all these people. Look at this person. Look at that one. You think you're different? And the prophet is still saying today, don't be afraid of the words that you hear. Thank the Lord for that. So Hezekiah, he got a letter from the Assyrians. He got this letter. They wrote him a letter, and I was going to bring something up with me, and I failed to do that. He brought a letter, and I'm sure there at that time it was probably a scroll. It was probably rolled up. They had their parchments, and they brought this letter to Hezekiah, and here he opens it up, and it's the king of Assyria saying, you better surrender. I've conquered all these lands, or God's did them no good, and your God isn't going to deliver you. And so this is what Hezekiah did. In the 14th verse of the 19th chapter, it said, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. He opened up that letter. He went to the house of God with this letter that said, these other gods have done no good. And he opened it up. That expression of all the problems that were facing him, and he spread his letter before the Lord, and he prayed. He prayed before the Lord and said, God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, would you bow down thine ear and hear? Would you open, Lord, thine eyes and see? And hear the words which has sent him to the messenger that had been sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria. In other words, this is true. I'm not denying the fact. The kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. And they cast their gods in the fire, for there were no gods, but the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord thy God, and thou only. And the Lord gave a response to that prayer of entreaty, that Lord, you see what happened, you see what's happening all around me, and I've spread my letter before you, and I ask for your help. And in the 34th verse of that same chapter 19, it said, I will defend this city and save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. There were dead corpses around, those that were spared. The angel of the Lord went to the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 of them. We're not talking about a small, insignificant army. We are talking about a massive army of tens of thousands of people that were headed to Jerusalem. And they said, don't trust in your God. And yet, the Lord intervened. There is a lesson for us this morning here. To whom are we going to turn in time of trouble? There is a song we sing in our book that says, where shall I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are, help me out, neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where shall I go but to the Lord? When we're in trouble, where are we going to go? When we have problems, where are we going to go? Do you know this morning we can put our trust in people? And I'm so thankful for the fellowship that we have in the Lord this morning. I'm so thankful for all of you that we can come and bear one another's burdens. We need that. But do you know, there's going to come a time that some of us aren't going to be here. There are some that I had confidence in that they're gone today. They've listened to, they've gone, they've did put turn their back on God. If I had based my life and my hope in them, where would I be this morning? Where would I be? We can have friends and family, and we love that, and we're so thankful for family this morning. But you know, family's not going to be able to see us through all the problems of life. We can have self-confidence and say, I can do this and I can do that. And do you realize that what we can do is limited in the face of the forces of the enemy? There's going to be some things that you will face in life that in and of themselves, they will overwhelm you. So where are we going to go? Where are we going to turn in time of trouble and in time of difficulty? You see, our hope is found in Christ and in God alone. That's where our hope is. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Can I just simply encourage you this morning? When you're in trouble, go to the house of the Lord. When you're in trouble, bring your letter and spread it out before the Lord. I'll say a few months ago, and I did it again the other morning, I knelt down and said, Lord, I'm just spreading my letter before you. Here's my letter. Lord, here's my problem. Lord, I need you to work because I'm incapable. There's nothing I can do. Lord, I'm helpless. But Lord, I'm going to open up my letter before the throne of God. And Lord, these are my problems. Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Do you know the Lord wants us to come and spread our letter out before him this morning? God will do something wonderful, but where is he when we come to the throne, when we come to the house of God, where are we going to commune with God? Have you considered that? When we come to the house of God, whether it's here, whether it's at your bedside, whether it's driving down the road, where are we going to find that place of communion? In the Old Testament, the high priest was the only one that one time a year could go in to that inner sanctum, the holiest of holies, where the very presence of God was. And do you remember where God communed with the high priest? He communed above something. What was it? He communed with the high priest from above the mercy seat. In the book of Exodus, in the 25th chapter, and this is where God was giving instruction to Moses on how to build the tabernacle. He said in the 19th verse of Exodus 25, make a cherub on one end and the other cherub on the other end. Angelic being, make that angelic image. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two end. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces will look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. And remember what was inside the ark. Inside the ark was the commandments. That was the truth. God communes with us from a place of truth, folks. But there was a bowl. There's a bowl of something inside the ark. You remember what was in that bowl? It was manna. So within the ark, there were the Ten Commandments, and there was the manna, what God feeds us on. And there was Aaron's rod that had budded. And that budded rod was in there, a symbol of God's divine, miraculous working power. And there were these two cherubims on either side of the ark. And they were looking one towards another at the mercy seat. And God said, I will commune with you from above that mercy seat. He said in verse 22, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims. It was not a place of judgment. You see, when the high priest went into that most holy place, he was coming to meet with God that would commune with him at the mercy seat. Do you know where the Lord will meet with us when we come with our letters this morning? He's going to come and commune with us from the mercy seat. And in my mind, it's like, but I'm not a high priest. And I can only go in one time a year if I were. I wouldn't even be a qualified high priest. Do you know a high priest could not have any broken bones? They couldn't be bald at all. They had to have all their hair. They had to be in perfect physical condition. That was symbolic of holiness. They were not able to come into the presence of God. A bald man could not come into the presence of God. They were losing their hair. You broken bones. I would miss it on many points. I've got blemishes on my skin. I've got pox, and the chicken pox left their mark on me, and I'm losing my hair. I have broken bones, and I would not be qualified to come into the presence of the Most High God. And yet you remember, and we spoke of this a few weeks ago, Brother Max, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished." You remember what happened in the temple? The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. It opened up the way that all of us could come into the very presence of God. No longer do we have to go through a high priest, because Jesus is our great high priest, that we all have access to go into the house of God and come into the very presence of God and commune with Him at the mercy seat. So we don't need to be afraid of sharing our letter. I don't know how many of you have ever kept a diary or a journal, but you know, usually diaries and journals are very personal things. Would you want to take, if you would have kept a journal, would you want to just bring it, just pass it around? If you wrote in that journal the most intimate things of life, the thoughts, all the things that you've dealt with, all the things that you're feeling, all of the valleys and all of the hills, would you just want to pass that around for people to read? All of your failures, all of your sin, all of your embarrassing moments. I wouldn't want to do that, because that's very vulnerable. I mean, you don't just open up to just everybody. But we have a privilege this morning of coming to the throne of God, where He communes from the mercy seat. And we can spread our letter and say, "Lord, I'm just being vulnerable. This is where I am." The Lord knows where we're at this morning. He knows our struggles. He knows the places that we have failed. He knows the places that are bothering us. He knows the giants that we're facing. He knows the armies that are headed our way that are saying, "I've destroyed everybody else. I'm coming your way. Don't put your trust in God." We have the privilege this morning to come into the presence of the Most High God, who will commune with us from above the mercy seat. And we can spread our letter before the Lord and say, "Lord, here's my problem. And here's my need." And you know, there have been some times that I have not even had the words to express to the Lord. There have been times I've come in prayer, and prayer was not my words. It was opening up my heart, saying, "Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to tell you to do. Lord," I remember times I came to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't even know exactly where I am, but Lord, I'm coming to You, and I need You. I need Your help, Lord." And the Lord read my letter. He read my letter, and He dealt with me. Not from a place of judgment, but He dealt with me from the mercy seat. Don't believe the voices of this world this morning. Do not believe when you see others having fallen and caved and saying, "Don't put your trust in the Lord." I still believe in God. And the prophet was saying, "Don't be afraid." And Hezekiah took that, and he took his letter, and he was vulnerable. This is why the scripture tells us, casting all your care upon Him. For what? For He careth for you. I would just go around to each one of you individually this morning, but do you know the Lord cares about you? He cares about you. From the youngest to the oldest, God cares about you this morning. And if you feel a little bit forsaken, or you feel like you're facing some giants and facing some armies that just seem that it's insurmountable, there's no way, and you're feeling discouraged this morning, don't be afraid. Just come into the presence of God and spread your letter. And you don't have to be afraid of being vulnerable with the Lord. Some of the richest times I've been blessed are times that I was the most vulnerable before God. It was at my neediest places. It was at the places I felt so incapable. And it's not that God does not use things and people. Do you know we can put our trust in God and He still has things for us to do? Think about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had the armies against him. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. And they called a fast. And the Lord told them what to do. They still went out with their army. They went out and they sang praises to God. And they were able to conquer. They didn't sit there with their hands folded. They still had to use their army, but God didn't want them to put their trust in it. He used it. God will use people in your lives. He will use things. He will use circumstances. Just because we have faith in God is not to the exclusion of everybody and everything else in life. But that's not where our hope is. Their hope was not in the army. It wasn't in what I can do. It's, Lord, I am desperate for you to work, and I need you to work in my life. And Hezekiah opened himself up and cast his care on the Lord. And this is why David said so often, in so many different ways, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall hide me in the secret of the tabernacle. Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet said, 29 verse, he giveth power to who? To the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Where are we going to find that strength? When I come into the house of God and I go to the mercy seat and I spread my letter before him and say, Lord, I'm not going to hide it. You know, who here wants to share your most personal struggles? Lord, I can come into your house. And I can just say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. I need some help. And I don't have to come with shame. And so I wonder what things in my letter will the Lord receive. Jesus said, come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say it was just sin. He didn't identify what all those were. It's like whatever's causing you to be burdened, just come to me. Come and spread your letter. If you're having problems with someone, having problems in your home, having problems in your marriage, having problems with your parents, having problems in the congregation, having problems that are so personal that everybody looks on you and thinks that you're just doing real good spiritually, and all the time you're just struggling and you feel like you're sinking. Having problems with your health, having problems with finances, we can bring those, all that. We can bring that letter and just spread it out and say, Lord, here it is. Sometimes I find that we too often pray trying to tell God how to deal with the problems. Have you ever been guilty of that? And it's like we just need to stop and say, Lord, if I knew the solution, I'd take care of it. I mean, if I knew the answer, why would I even need to pray? I'd just take care of it. But Lord, I don't know what to do. And I don't even know how to tell you to fix it. But Lord, I come into your house and I spread my letter. So in closing, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly, come with assurance to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. Okay, we read in the Old Testament, but now we read in the New Testament. Knowing that we have a great high priest who is touched with the filling of our infirmities, let us come with assurance to the throne of grace, where God will commune with us above the mercy seat, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help in time of need. If this morning you have a need, I want to encourage you to, with calm assurance, spread your letter before the Lord. And maybe you don't need this message this morning, but you're going to need it tomorrow or next week or next month. And I want you to know the Lord is just there waiting above the mercy seat for us to come and spread our letter. And I have found when I have done that in casting my care, it's like, Lord, this letter, it's too weighty for me. I can't bear this myself anymore because the army's too great. So, Lord, I bring it to you, and I have been revived and inspired and my load lift. He, Lord, help carry that burden, and he wants to do that for you in your life this morning. So let's spread our letter before him. May God bless each one of you. Amen.